This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest of the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick, and good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny.
It does seem like an age since we last spoke on Friday. So much has happened since then. Of course, we've seen a military situation in the Middle East ramped up and the market repercussions of that and plenty more too. Let's start with what we heard from Jerome Powell yesterday, who up until recent weeks was fairly dovish, but it seems he has now more or less turned into a hawk and indicated that we may not even see a rate cut this year at all.
That's right, Johnny. I mean, so much has happened in the last week just between conflict in the Middle East, the Ukraine situation still being on everyone's radar. It's a sad kind of situation that geopolitics have kind of ramped up in the last year or so. You know, you also have an election year this year. So we do see volatility across the board. Well, many elections, by the way. We see volatility across the board. You take a look at the VIX, it's up right now. You see the dollar index, it's up right now. Just so much has happened. You mentioned that Jerome Powell spoke yesterday. It was expected to not be a big ordeal. It was this situation where Jerome Powell is sitting down with Tiff Macklem from Canada, and they were just going to talk about the U.S.-Canadian relations on monetary policy. And it was supposed to be kind of just this straightforward thing, and a lot of people weren't expecting too much out of it. That being said, anytime Jerome Powell is speaking, the whole world listens, and the world got some interesting stuff because Jerome Powell, there were some very particular things that he said and some also very key things that he did not say in his conversation at this panel event. This was happening in Washington, D.C., by the way. He was sitting down with Tiff Macklem and others. And so during this conversation, as soon as the mic gets handed to Jerome Powell, this was crazy because I was watching this live. As soon as the mic gets handed to him, he's asked about, you know, the Canadian-U.S. relationships to some capacity on monetary policy. And he immediately took that as his opportunity to discuss the war, the ongoing struggle with inflation faced by the United States. And he pointed out essentially that there's been recently, what everybody knows, a backup on the inflation story. We've had a couple months of hot data and a lot of strong economic data. So inflation, stubborn, hot economic data. And he took that as an opportunity to just point out that the Fed, you know, accepts that this is an ongoing fight with inflation and that perhaps there is still work to be done and maybe cuts are not as expected. He didn't say exactly that, and I'm paraphrasing heavily here. But one thing that he left out that many market participants picked up on was in a lot of his recent dialogue, Jerome Powell in his speeches has mentioned that they still think rate cuts are on the table for 2024. In this particular conversation, he didn't really make any mention to that. He didn't add, you know, we're fighting with inflation, but we still think inflation will come down and we can cut rates at some point this year. He didn't say that. So him not mentioning they still think that there could be rate cuts, it doesn't guarantee that there's no rate cuts off the table. But immediately following this, Johnny, what we saw is that the Fed watch tool immediately took June off the table, took July off the table completely. And now the needle has been moved to September. And Johnny, this has been crazy to watch. We've been doing this podcast week after week, and we've just watched consistently the expectations for rate cuts getting pushed out. Isn't that kind of just weird to be reporting on together?
It is, because for such a long time, people were talking about a March cut, and March has come and gone. Then June, as you said, and now you've just mentioned in the autumn. I expect the words from Jay Powell had a further effect on the dollar, which of course has been racing up in recent times, which is not great for me because I'm going to be coming to your part of the world in the not too distant future. And it's making the pound more expensive against the dollar. Slightly painful for me.
Well, and you know, many people feeling that pain to a degree. The U.S., you know, if you're traveling to a place where you're going to need U.S. dollars, yeah, it's not the greatest time. You do see the dollar up pretty substantially. We're trading at 106 on the dollar index. You mentioned against the pound dollar, we did get some data out of the U.K., jobs data. We've had inflation data. So all of this kind of pointed towards perhaps also seeing some slight hawkishness from the Bank of England as well. But you know, is it enough? And the answer is right in front of us on markets today. The pound is barely off of its lows here, if you're taking a look at the daily chart at the time of recording this podcast. And I think that just speaks to, again, the dollar story. You may see other central banks slightly pick up a bit of hawkishness in their tone in upcoming conversations and press conferences and things, just because maybe they have room to trail the US a little bit, because now it sounds like they're going to be more hard pressed to cut rates. But when you talk about the pound against the dollar, yeah, it's traded much lower here. We're at 1.2450 at the time of recording this. And, you know, again, I think it just comes back to some of the economic data that has come in is just pointing towards U.S. outperformance in terms of economic readings.
Although, as you intimated, we've had these UK CPI numbers today, which were disappointing from the point of view of people who want to see a cut in the not too distant future. And the pound is slightly up on the dollar today, very slightly. We've seen inflation at 3.2%, down from 3.4%. Markets were expecting 3.1, hence the disappointment. And it's mainly down, isn't it, to the price of energy, the price of oil, which is making that inflation number stickier than we might have hoped.
Yeah, so it seems like it's like a theme here that's beyond just the US, just inflation. And that would make sense. Another thing to draw from that conversation yesterday between Tiff Macklem and Jerome Powell, the central banker from Canada and US, their conversation about inflation took a turn for, like, you know, where is this? Because is it just the demand side is so strong and that's why inflation is so problematic? And Jerome Powell really harped on the fact that it's perhaps some of the stuff that they can't measure so easily, which is the supply chain, the supply issues that we faced during the pandemic, as far back as that may seem now, are still weighing heavily on the inflation story. I thought that was an interesting point. Economists have a lot more tools to measure demand side, right? The consumer, jobs, housing. They have a lot of those tools to measure the impact that all of those things could do to the economies of the world. Where they struggle a little bit more and where we're all kind of in unprecedented territory is if you shut down the world for, you know, X number of months across the whole world, that supply induced inflation is incredibly problematic and also very hard to see the full scope of. So, you know, here we are, Johnny, we're talking about how they keep pushing back these expectations. I think it's easy from our perspective or from anybody's perspective to just kind of laugh at economists for getting it wrong. But I can't, you know, lie that is an incredibly difficult task that they have to try and, okay, now we've shut down the whole world. What does that do to the entire system? You know, they're trying their best, obviously, but it does seem like thematically, it's not just the US, it's other places that are feeling the long-term effects of that shutdown that we are still talking about to this day. And again, that extends to the UK, the US, both are seeing higher than anticipated inflation. And just very, very interesting to continue to see that story play out the way it has.
I finally wanted to talk to you about Bitcoin, Nick, because it rise to all-time highs, but now suddenly we're back down to around 60,000. Which is quite a drop from the 72 a few days ago.
It is a substantial drop. We're, you know, 73,000-74,000 nearly on the price of Bitcoin against the dollar, and it's come down dramatically here. It's currently sitting around 61,000, which, if you're looking at it on a daily chart, is a key level of support. I think that if it breaks that level, buyers are going to get a little bit worrisome. So we're very close here. You can look back on it and see that, again, several times in the past, it's found support here in recent months around this level. And so what's tricky about this is, as you mentioned, you know, it's been all the rave, all the hype. And now suddenly with the market not just screaming higher, I'm talking specifically equities, which is, you know, a proxy for risk sentiment. With risk sentiment pausing here, cautiously backing up as yields continue to rise, as you see geopolitical tensions rise, and as we go into an earnings season for the US, I know those things might not feel like they directly impact Bitcoin, but let's face it, Bitcoin is a risk asset. When the markets are worrisome, most of the time, Bitcoin is selling off. When the markets are very optimistic, I mean, if you were to cross the Bitcoin daily chart against the NASDAQ, they have a lot of correlation recently. So very interesting to keep an eye on that. Again, for people who are interested in crypto, as it hits 61,000, let's see if it can hold that area. And if it doesn't, could be a little tricky for the days ahead, because we've really lost that steam of just making all-time highs every single day.
Okay, Nick, very interesting to talk to you again. We'll speak again on Friday. Have a good couple of days.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. Talk to you soon.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.